From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. 244 new cases of COVID-19 were reported in Juneau today. Those are new infections from Wednesday and Thursday. There are three patients with the virus being treated at Bartlett Regional Hospital right now. The Juneau School District reported three new cases at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Katle, and one at Harborview Elementary School. More than 2,500 new cases were reported on Friday statewide, and the state is reporting that two more people have died. So far, 987 Alaskans and visitors to the state have died from COVID-19. With the Omicron variant of the coronavirus spreading rapidly in Alaska, contact tracing is increasingly difficult. A new feature for Alaska smartphones could help. The service, COVID-ENX, was developed by Apple and Google to allow users to anonymously report that they've tested positive for COVID-19. Kenrick Mock is a computer science professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage, who's part of the team that optimized the feature for Alaska phones.
If you got an Apple iPhone, then and it's kind of recent, then it's already baked into the operating system. And so all someone would have to do would be to go to their settings, and there's a setting for exposure notifications, and all they would have to do is just turn it on.
From there, the feature uses Bluetooth to connect to other phones nearby that have the function activated. A random code is generated and sent automatically and anonymously to nearby phones, where it's saved for 14 days.
And if someone tests positive for COVID, then what they can do is they can share their positive test. And when they do that, it's anonymous. It doesn't link back to them or say it was their phone or anything like that. And then based on the exchange of those random codes, other phones that had contact with the person that shared their diagnoses will be notified that they may have been exposed to COVID-19.
Mock says users are then directed to state resources for testing and isolating. Well, he says the app removes some of the contact tracing strain from healthcare workers, it doesn't send the positive result to the state database. Mock says it wouldn't ping every nearby phone, just ones that meet a typical COVID exposure threshold, within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. He said a good example is a movie theater.
You're sitting in the theater for maybe 2 hours, and you don't know who these people are that might be near you. And yeah, one of them might test positive. And if they share their diagnosis, then you could be notified and know that you should go test it.
For Apple users, Mock says they need to have at least the iOS 14.4 software update to have the feature work on their phone. For Android users, an app for Alaska COVID-ENX is rolling out next week at the Play Store. And Juneau's Riverbend Elementary School is closed indefinitely after two pipes burst during a cold snap and flooded most of the school. A team of inspectors went through the school yesterday and notified the district that cleanup and repairs will take several weeks. Now staff must pack up classrooms and make way for construction crews. KTOO's Rasha McChesney has the story.
There are so many fans blowing in Riverbend Elementary School right now that it sounds like a jet is taking off inside.
So luckily the books, it didn't go above the shelves, so the books are dry.
A team of inspectors is walking through the building looking at the damage caused by two pipes that burst and flooded the school. At least two-thirds of the building has been impacted. Some of it was under nearly 3 inches of water.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been crazy, crazy.
That's Mark Ibias. He's a lead maintenance tech for the Juneau School District. There was no one in the school over the weekend when the pipes burst, so they don't know how long it was filling with water. But on the day it was supposed to open to students, the custodian showed up early to shovel snow and found the mess. IBS says custodial staff and maintenance crew shut off the water and the electricity, and about a dozen of them have been rushing to clean and dry the school out ever since. The inspection team looked at the floors, the carpet, the furniture.
Mainly the mold. I mean, anytime that you have moisture, you're going to get some kind of, bacteria and all that. So
the school district sent out an email after the inspection team left saying that it will take several weeks to repair the school, that the flooring, the carpet, the drywall needs to be removed and replaced in most of the school. And teachers haven't been back into Riverbend yet to fully catalog everything that's been damaged. In that email, the school district says they'll have to pack up their classrooms and move everything out of the way so that construction crews can come through. Elizabeth Pysel-Davis is the principal of Riverbend. She's seen a few things already that will definitely need to be replaced. Some drawers in the nurse's office were filled with water, so they'll need new supplies.
We've had a couple of computers that I know got hit, some iPads that got hit.
She thinks insurance will cover a lot of those losses, and she's hoping they'll cover the cost of replacing any supplies teachers may have lost too. But the whole situation is stressful, and it's piled on top of the pandemic and all of the other things that teachers are going through right now. She says when she saw the photos of her school underwater, she cried.
Even though it's just stuff, it's our school, and it's things that kids use. And just the amount of work that my teachers have already put in this year because of COVID and all of the things we have to do, I just knew that this was one step too far for them.
But as she was talking about all of that frustration and sadness, there are some small moments in all of the chaos that make her smile. She ducked around a corner into a dark room and pointed out that when the custodians came in and found all of the water, they went into this music room and moved all of the instruments up and away from the soaked carpet. And she's been hearing a lot from parents, too. There's basically an army of volunteers waiting to be told when and how to help. And their kids are reaching out.
Well, I have already gotten a couple of texts from parents of kids who are wondering about my turtles, because they were very worried, because I have turtles in my office that the kids come and read to or hang out with when they need to just have a break. And a couple of kids were like, what about the turtles? Are they okay? My turtles are fine. Everybody's okay.
Those turtles, peanut butter and jelly. Picel Davis says she didn't even have to ask about them. The custodians texted her right away to say that they were okay. For now, the school is closed indefinitely, and the district is scrambling to figure out how and where to teach 270 Riverbend students. In Juneau, with help from Lindsay Brolini, I'm Rasha McChesney.
A joint House-Senate Council of the Alaska Legislature voted yesterday to pay per diems during the legislative session scheduled to start next week. The payments to lawmakers from outside of Juneau supplements their salaries and covers their living expenses during the session. They get just under $300 a day. Governor Mike Dunleavy had vetoed the payments in June. He said it didn't make sense for legislators to receive the money until they'd resolved the future of the permanent fund dividends. But in December, he proposed restoring the $2 million in per diem funding in a bill that supplements the current budget. That bill also has to pay an additional $1,200 PFD to make up for the difference between last year's dividend and the amount he proposed. The Legislative Council voted 12-1 to transfer money from capital funds to the legislature's account for salary and allowances. Anchorage Democratic Representative Matt Klayman voted for the transfer. He says delaying it would hurt some legislators.
A reduction in per diem or not paying, getting per diem started right away really disadvantages those legislators that actually bring their families to Juneau. And I think it's really essential for some of the families that do have kids that we have those representatives and senators with us.
Wasilla Republican Representative Kathy Tilton was the only one to vote no. She says the transfer wasn't needed to pay per diems because the legislature could pass the governor's supplemental bill. She has also supported the governor's plan to pay larger dividends.
There are also other things in that supplemental that should be taken care of immediately as well.
After the vote, an internet outage disrupted the council meeting. The council plans to meet again before the session starts to discuss the COVID-19 safety rules for the Capitol building. Stories shared through a University of Alaska Fairbanks storytelling program are airing on NPR's Weekend Edition this month.
Originally performed in front of a live audience for the Alaska storytelling show and podcast Dark Winter Nights, hosted by Rob Prince, we thought they'd sound just as good over your dark winter morning coffee.
UAF Journalism Associate Professor Rob Prince and a small group of volunteers have produced Dark Winter Nights since 2014.
Stories, about, getting stuck in a blizzard on the Hall Road in a little tour bus or fending off polar bears.
A year ago, the program was on a New York Times shortlist of best winter podcasts. Prince says The Dream is a weekly national broadcast show.
Pretty much every day I check my email thinking, what am I going to get? Like the big email, like, hey, this is WNYC or something.
Prince says he also aspires to take the show on the road. The first local live performance since the pandemic began is scheduled for February 26th. There's a flood watch in effect for most of southeast Alaska, including Juneau, through tomorrow morning. Rain and snowmelt will continue to fill up small streams and other low-lying areas or places with bad drainage. We're expecting up to a half inch of rain tonight with a low around 36.